Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he raised from the dead.
Amen.
It's only one verse, but in it, St. Luke says so much about the work of Jesus. The Word made flesh receives his name. Jesus, God saves, for he will save his people from their sins. His name defines his work. God saves. How? By fulfilling the old circumcision of Abraham's covenant. How? Jesus becomes obedient to the law. And on the eighth day, like today is the eighth day of Christmas, he sheds his blood for the first time. This reaches backwards to the promise made to Abraham and looks forward to the blood he sheds on the cross. Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day, which looks forward to Jesus' resurrection from the dead on the eighth day of the week. This gospel text might be short, but it's powerful. And it calls to mind the promise made to Abraham. Here are the words of Genesis. This is my covenant, which you shall keep, between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins. And it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. God's promise, his covenant, was an agreement between God, Abraham, and the descendant of Abraham. That's Jesus. This descendant or offspring of Adam and Eve, the one promised to the serpent's face, is a singular noun in the Hebrew, zara, the promised descendant who would crush the serpent's head, the seed. It's no accident that God's covenant with Abraham circled around the offspring, because through Abraham's offspring, the promise of salvation would be fulfilled. When the Israelites were circumcised, they received the outward sign of God's promise. Martin Luther even considered it an Old Testament sacrament, giving the Old Testament saints, quote, the forgiveness of sins, justification, and incorporation into God's people. They received these gifts through faith. It was a trust in God's promise, fulfilled in the offspring, the seed, fulfilled in Jesus, God saves. They didn't receive justification because of the circumcision itself, though, nor because of their own deeds or their own acceptance of it, but as a free gift, because of the future work of Jesus. But the Jews in Galatia were a little bit confused about the reason for circumcision. Whether or not they realized it, they were held captive under the law. Even after Jesus bled on the cross, some argued that, in order to be saved, both faith in Christ and the law of circumcision were necessary for salvation. Even St. Peter, the chief apostle, was, at first, confused by this. It's why St. Paul preached to the church in Galatia, to clear up some confusion. Circumcision is not necessary in the New Testament. In the Old, it was only an outward sign of God's covenant, a guardian, a tutor, until Abraham's offspring would fulfill that covenant. As Paul preached, before Jesus came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith, which would afterward be revealed. Justification is by faith. Justification is by Christ's own faithfulness, his own obedience to the law. But now that the faithfulness of Christ has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. The work of circumcision does not save. but the work of Jesus does. His obedient blood shed for you on the cross. You don't need circumcision. You have the outward signs given to you now: holy baptism, holy absolution, and the Holy Supper. But just as the Galatians also had these things, the same confusion can reach us also. For we, like the Galatians, frequently hold ourselves captive to the law, perhaps even to the law of our own making. What is it that you are requiring of yourselves in order to be considered good in your own eyes, or good as you perceive in God's eyes? Is it that you hold yourselves captive, perhaps, to equality, or diversity, or to freedom, or to love is love, in order to be called good? No. Or is it that you are held captive by contempt against those who pursue ridiculous and trendy agenda? Are you held captive by some sort of vendetta against some ideology, perhaps like those of the LGBT religion? Are you really made good by bearing the name, the correct name of a political party, or the correct world power, or knowing the correct ideology? Are you held captive by the thought, whether you know it or not, that your own goodness or faithfulness is the same as what faith is? The Jews of Galatia may have thought so before Paul came and preached to them. But bearing the name of true justification does not rely on your own faithfulness. It comes from Christ's faithfulness. Here again, the Holy Gospel. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. It is Jesus who saves. It is God who makes you good. His salvation is not by faith and fairness, nor by faith and right opinion. God shed his blood for you on the 8th day as well as on the 3rd day. God shed his blood for everyone he guards under the law, even those who you don't agree with. For the Jew and the Greek, for slave and free, for male and female, and even he shed his blood for those confused about what male and female means. Jesus became incarnate for more than just the right opinioned, for more than those in the right group. God is patient, and God is kind, even to those with faulty ideologies. God loves even those who claim love and yet hate him. God longs for their return and for their repentance from wicked ways. Have you considered that it's possible that God has a plan to bring back the baptized who have wandered, even though they are now receivers of our contempt and our impatience? There is hope yet, for God's faithfulness is stronger than ours. You see, it started in the garden with the promise of the seed, and in the incarnation of our Lord. And it continues on the 8th day when Jesus received his name, the name that saves you. And it was finished on the 3rd day when our Lord's work was complete. Blood and water poured from his side to fulfill the law's demands, to fulfill the law's demands for you. With that same water, Jesus incorporates you as children into his church. He himself becomes your guardian and your savior. You are Christ's now. Christ forgives you. The life and salvation that he won are yours now. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The divine service begins and ends with God's name in holy baptism. It opens with the invocation, and it closes with the fulfillment of the Aaronic blessing: the Lord bless you and keep you. The pastor speaks God's word and puts God's name upon you. It doesn't matter what kind of strange name your parents gave you. What matters is that God's name is put on you in holy baptism. You are made good by the blood shed by Jesus. God saves. You are made good at his circumcision, at his trial, at his cross, at his resurrection. You are not made good by Jesus and, but you are saved by the faithfulness of God alone. God saves Jesus. Jesus saves by giving his own goodness to you, imputed by the giving of his name. It is the right name. It is the right group. And you are all heirs according to promise, for you have put on his name in holy baptism, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In addition to those prayers in the congregation at prayer, we pray for the dear friends of the Reimers, the Peterson family, and the Lubner family. Some of their children were involved in an accident on 94 over the weekend, where a drunk driver ran into the car of the children. Grant Peterson died in the collision. Two other children were injured. We pray for the family, both families, and friends at this time of great sorrow and grief. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens are the work of your fingers, yet you will to save us in the most humble and sacrificial of ways. Already 8 days after being born of the Virgin Mary, your Son was at work for our salvation by fulfilling your law and shedding his blood on our behalf. Receive our heartfelt thanks for the righteousness and forgiveness of sins we obtain through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Blessed God, you sent your Son into our flesh, and as an infant, he first shed the blood that would cleanse us from our sin. Accept our thanks for the loving kindness shown to us sinners. Grant steadfastness to Chris Clark, Keith Gearock, Rachel Reilly, Roseanne Fell, Rebecca LeGros, Joanne Smith, Vic Stanley, Terry O'Neill, Maria Stemke, Pam Kirk, Bill Schaefer, Drew Franklin, Felicity Delayden, Elena Kerner, celebrating baptismal birthdays this week. Grant them and all the baptized faithful steadfast faith, that we would not forget all of your benefits or lose sight of your promises, but abide in daily contrition and repentance. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God, you declare that in Christ Jesus there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in him. Preserve us from all ungodly prejudice, yet instill in us a deep appreciation for our distinctive callings under the order of creation. Grant that we would not resent what you have called us to be and to do, but rejoice to serve as you have ordained, Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for the gift of holy matrimony, whereby you unite together a man and a woman in one flesh, for the giving and receiving of love, and when it is God's will, for the procreation of children. Bless Fritz and Robin Tylacker, Rich and Melinda Berger, celebrating wedding anniversaries this week, that their love for each other may be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, and his faithfulness to us. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, you have shown your power by establishing governments and leaders to serve your people in your name. Grant to our president, governor, Congress, legislators, judges, and magistrates the wisdom and courage to act with integrity on behalf of all our citizens, and especially for the sake of the church, that the word of the gospel may not be bound but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people and as a witness to the world. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, bless and keep us by your grace. Remember those in need who cry out to you, especially Reverend John Leiter in rehab, Bob Piper in rehab following a head injury, Bob Rolfe, Peyton Locklear, Jamelyn Martin, Kathy Miller, Heather Peters, and Josiah Berenger, all in treatment for cancer, and Reverend Dwayne Schneider in hospice care, and those injured children of the Lubner and Peterson family recovering from the devastating car accident. According to your will and wisdom, lift up your countenance upon them and give them peace. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty and everlasting God, you give and you take away according to your wisdom and grace. In the midst of things we cannot understand and the grief of this life, fix our eyes upon the suffering and death of Jesus as the sure and certain promise of your abiding love. We thank you for all the mercies granted to Grant during his short life on this earth, for taking him to yourself. According to your gracious will, comfort his mother and father and all in his extended family and among his friends and those in the church who mourn his death, with the assurance that through the power of holy baptism, this beloved child was delivered from sin and has been received among the saints in glory. Keep all of us in your grace, so that when our last hour comes, we may depart in peace. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, you invite your children to the table of your Son. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we would discern Christ's body and blood in this sacrament, and come with joyful and repentant hearts to receive the foretaste of the eternal feast. Strengthen us by this blessed communion, that we would love you above all and love one another in your name. Lord, in your mercy. These and all other petitions we lay before you, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.